So in our scripture readings today, for our Old Testament reading, we have the conclusion of the story of Job. Job is vindicated, his life and fortunes are restored. But something has changed for Job. In the past, I knew only what others had told me, he says. But now I have seen you, that is God. Now I have seen God with my own eyes. So Job, through his experiences, has gained new sight. And this theme is explored further in our gospel, which tells the story of blind Bartimaeus. Let's listen to our reading from the Old Testament. So there we have it, the story of blind Bartimaeus. And as a sighted person, I wonder, what must it be like to be blind? What must it be like to be profoundly blind? For those of us who can see, it is hard to imagine. So let us hear words of wisdom from Helen Keller, the famous American author, educator, and activist. At the age of 19 months, Keller suffered a severe illness that left her deaf and blind for the rest of her life. It's hard to imagine what life would be like if we were either deaf or blind, never mind both at the same time. And Keller went on to overcome these disabilities, became the first deaf-blind person to gain a university degree, and traveled thousands of miles around the world, speaking to audiences about her experiences. One time in a magazine article, Helen Keller imagined what she would do if she could see again, even if it was just for 3 days. Well, what would you say if you were in her situation? On the first day, she said, she wanted to see her friends. Day 2, she would spend in the countryside seeing the beauty of the natural world. The 3rd day, she would spend walking around her home city of New York, just watching everything happening around her. And she concluded the article with these words, "I who am blind can give one hint to those who see. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you were stricken blind." In other words, make the most of this remarkable gift of sight, a gift which most of us take utterly for granted. Helen Keller was born in 1880, and there was nothing that the doctors of her time could do to treat her blindness. Thank God that medical science is more advanced today. Cataract operations are routine. I'm sure that there's a number of us in church who've benefited from this procedure. Scientists have turned their attention to blindness caused by damage to the cells within the eye and are close to a breakthrough in making an artificial retina, effectively giving people bionic eyes. 2,000 years after Christ, science at last offers the hope of sight for the blind, although such high-tech solutions are likely to be available for only a tiny minority of the world's estimated 37 million people who are blind. Because the reality for many blind people in the world today is that conditions have hardly improved since the time of Jesus. Blindness then meant that you would likely be reduced to abject poverty. You would have to beg for a living, dependent on the mercy and the generosity of others. Contrast Bartimaeus, who simply asks, "I want to see." What James and John wanted was not within Jesus' power to grant. What Bartimaeus wants is something Jesus can give. Bartimaeus already has eyes of faith. Now physical sight is restored. And then in a concluding comment that makes this look more like a discipleship story than a healing story, he follows Jesus along the road, joining Jesus as he continues his journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. And I think there's a strong argument that in telling this story, Mark is portraying Bartimaeus as a kind of model disciple, embodying all the attributes that the 12 and other would-be disciples have been trying to acquire but have failed. Mark is presenting Bartimaeus as an example for us and what it means for us to follow Jesus along the way. So the words reported in this story are not just for Bartimaeus. They're for you and me as well. First, there are the words of the crowd to Bartimaeus. Cheer up, get up, he is calling you. And you know, these are words that we all need to hear, whether it is from friend or stranger. For Bartimaeus, it was from an unknown person in the crowd. Unknown, but in that moment, they were speaking as a messenger, as an angel from God. Cheer up. Well, that's how it's rendered in the Good News translation that we just heard read. Perhaps a better translation would be, take courage or take heart, because this is so much more than just putting a smile on your face. Take heart. Because I recognize there are times when my get up and go, got up and went. Times when I'm feeling low and lack the emotional and spiritual energy I need to face the challenges in front of me. Times when I have pretty much given up. And I guess I'm right in thinking that there have been times when you've also felt like that. Times when you felt physically, mentally, and spiritually overwhelmed. Particularly when we're feeling unwell, or we're feeling that the years are catching up on us. Short of time, short of energy, short of what is needed to face the challenges at hand. It is true not just for us as individuals, but for the Christian community as well. In many ways, we're struggling. And in such moments, we too need to hear words of encouragement. Take heart, cheer up. They can be like an infusion of energy. And then the phrase, get up. Sometimes we need more than just a word of encouragement. We need a push. There may come a point where life has pretty much knocked you down. Jesus is saying to you and to me, on your feet, get up, stand firm. What words of hope and encouragement they are. Because Jesus is calling you. Do you hear that? Jesus wants you to meet with him. Jesus wants you, me, us, to listen, to receive his healing, saving power, and then to follow him in the journey of discipleship, as Bartimaeus. These are the words I believe we need to take from the gospel lesson for today. Cheer up, get up, he is calling you. What else, finally, can we take from the gospel lesson for today? That Jesus has come to heal our blindness. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but spiritually, well, he could see. Never mind singing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Bartimaeus' eyes of his heart were fully opened. But most of us are the other way around. Now, I don't personally have a problem with physical blindness, apart from short-sightedness, easily remedied by wearing spectacles. But spiritual blindness, that's a different matter. Spiritual blindness is a much more common illness today than physical blindness. Spiritual blindness means that we are blind to the grace and goodness of God that surrounds us in every moment of every day. We are blind to the movement of the Spirit, unable to see signs of God's kingdom becoming a reality in our world. We suffer from short-sightedness and a lack of vision. We're blind to Christ's presence in the poor and needy, in danger of repeating the mistake of those condemned by Christ in the parable of the sheep and goats. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Lord, when did we see you? Like Bartimaeus, we are blind, and with him we need to cry to the Lord, I want to see. Let me see with the eyes of faith. And I have to say, I really like this little gospel story of Bartimaeus, not just for its masterful and succinct telling, but also its deep irony. For here is a man born blind, and yet able to see Jesus a whole lot better than the disciples and his other would-be followers. Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus to heal him, to make him well and complete. What part of your life does Jesus need to heal in order for you to become well and complete? And what needs to happen in order for you to get up and follow him on the path of discipleship? What kind of blindness does Jesus need to heal in your life? Cry out to the Lord while he is near. Bartimaeus met Jesus by the roadside as Jesus was passing by. Whenever, wherever we meet Jesus, by the roadside, in church, at work, at home, may our eyes and our hearts be opened, and in seeing him, may we stand up and follow. Amen.